I'm going to leave it here for immediate passage, and you may want to leave with me. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Starting with verse 8. Malachi chapter 3. Starting with verse 8. I'm not preaching on tithing, but I'm not going to bypass it either. It's here. Just the three familiar passages, verses 8, 9, and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'm calling your attention to the first question. It's more than a question. It's sort of a startling question and statement at the same time. Malachi says, with a startled voice, I think, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? And that's the title of the message this morning. Will a man rob God? Our Heavenly Father, in these few moments before lunch hour, I pray that you'd help us to rightly relate ourselves with thee. I pray you'd help us to give to thee what is yours and not to be guilty of robbing God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The prophet in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 is standing in disbelief. He is saying it something like this. Will a man rob God? Could it be possible that finite, frail, insignificant man could rob a holy and gracious and loving God? There's somewhat of a shock here. Let's suppose, for example, that during the night, I stepped out from my room, went down to the school of the Lord building, and broke in. I was given a key to the city of Florence, South Carolina, last Monday night in Florence, where I was preaching. The mayor came and gave me a key. I complained on Tuesday night, though, because I said I tried to break in the city hall during the night, and the key didn't fit the door. But suppose that I went down during the night, and I broke in the school of the Lord building. I got in Dr. Rice's office, stole his books, and got money out of his drawer. And one morning, somebody stand up and say, folks, Dr. Jack Hiles robbed the office of John Rice last night. And every person in this room would say, I can't believe it. I hope you would. I can't believe it. Would Jack Hiles rob John Rice? Look, after all that John Rice has done for him, would Jack Hiles rob John Rice? That's the same kind of disbelief that Malachi, which he spoke when he said, will a man rob God? Let's suppose that I went to Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I broke in the office of my good friend Russell Anderson, the diamond ring I wear, he gave to me. Many things. Russell Anderson has been in every way my friend. I have in my drawer at home a title to a $100,000 apartment house that Russell Anderson deeded to me several years ago. I never took it. I refused it. I've not signed the deed. Somebody wants to tear the deed up. I said, I may want to sign it one of these days. That's why I have drawn it up. But after all he's done, suppose that word got leaked out across the nation that Dr. Jack Hiles robbed Dr. Anderson's office. You see, I can't believe it. I can't believe, after all, that Russell Anderson has done for Jack Hiles, that Jack Hiles would have the audacity to rob Russell Anderson. I know. And Malachi said, I can't believe it. After all that God does for his people, that anybody who names the name of Jesus Christ would have the audacity to rob God. I cannot comprehend. I, Jack Hiles, cannot comprehend how any Christian, how any person, blood washed, blood bought, born again, on his way to heaven, sins forgiven, name written in the last book of life, would ever have the audacity to rob the God who made all of it possible. It's beyond my comprehension. 7 months ago, We came home on Wednesday night. My family was all upset. The girls were crying, and they're all upset. And they said, "Dad, guess what happened during the prayer meeting tonight?" And I said, "What?" They said, "Somebody broke in our house and stole thousands of dollars worth of things from our house. All in two of the bedrooms, the drawers were all filled out, and everything was poured on the floor. The chest of drawers and the, what do you call that thing, the dresser, the vanity, it's where you ladies do the best you can with what you have." And they're all pulled out and poured out. And somebody said, "I can comprehend. I can comprehend maybe somebody robbing a layman. Why anybody would rob a preacher is beyond me." Several months ago, some of our bus kids, we have so many bus kids, and some of our bus kids stepped out from Sunday school and church and went across the street, down to the end of the block across the street. There is the All Saints Catholic Church. We call it the No Saints Catholic Church. But the All Saints Catholic Church. Some of our bus kids went down there while they were having preaching and sit back in the back and found the offering they'd just taken and stole the offering from the Catholic Church. I'm sorry about that. And I felt like Dr. Rob Jones Jr. used to say about a fellow that cussed all the time. He said he cussed all the time, but he never did cuss anybody that didn't need a cussing. And I'm sorry those boys stole, but they never stole anybody in their lives. I would approve more than I would that. But normally they go to Goldblatt's and see at the big department store like Sears and Roebuck, and that's where we get our Sunday school prizes we get out in our spring and fall program, is from what they see at Goldblatt's. Anyway, I don't believe me. Please don't believe that's true. But I get up that night. By the way, these boys got a big roll of money. I'm in a big wad of money, and they even got the checks out of the offering plate. Went down to a big restaurant in Hammond, and a bunch of them sat there and ordered the biggest steak they had in the restaurant. The time came to pay for the steak, and they went up to the cash register, and the fellow made a mistake. He pulled out a check written from a jeweler in town to the All Saints Church and thought he could pay for the bill with that check from the jeweler to All Saints Church. And the lady said, "You can't use this." He said, "It don't make any difference. I got plenty more." He pulled out a lot of money that big around and looked like Russell Anderson's billfold. And anyway, they got the kids. I knocked up that night. My folks, the first impression was shock, shock. The second impression was laughter. And the third impression, in some cases, was delight. The shock was the first impression. And they couldn't believe it. I mean, you mean some of our sons and kids stole, robbed the offering from the Catholic Church? And I said to my people, that is a shocker. It's almost as big a shock as the folks that didn't tithe in the place past certain night. Almost. I mean this when I say it. I have more respect for those boys that robbed the Catholic Church offering than I do for you who robbed God. I have more respect for the folks who broke in my house and stole many of our valuables than I do for you folks here who robbed God. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe it. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Would a man rob his heavenly Father? Would it be possible that a man would rob God? But a man, a Christian, one who bears the name of Christ, rob God. For a Christian, one who entertains angels as servants, rob God. For a Christian, one who is the New Testament Holy of Holies, for God's Shekinah glory, rob God. For a Christian, who is heir of a fortune that makes Rockefellers look like a fellow's rocks, could he rob God? For a Christian, whose name is registered in heaven's county seat, could he rob God? For a Christian, whose soul is held by two nail-pierced hands, could he rob God? For a Christian, one who is such a pearl of great price that the Holy Spirit is the down payment on his soul, could he rob God? For a Christian, with a position that looks down on kings with pity and pathos, Could he rob God? Could a Christian, with a message that makes Paul Revere look like a Western Union boy and Patrick Henry like Benedict Arnold, could he actually rob his God? Could a Christian of the fraternal order of Elijah, Abraham, Moses, and John the Baptist rob God? Could a Christian with a mission that moves angels to envy and Old Testament saints to jealousy, could it be possible that any person saved for the grace of God, the recipient of God's salvation, the object of God's love, and the beneficiary of the great benefactor of Christ's gift on Calvary, could it be possible that we, with all that God has done for us, could we possibly have the audacity to rob our great God? He couldn't understand it. He couldn't comprehend anyone robbing God. Well, even the heathen people in his day would not rob their gods. The heathen made their gods of wood, clay, and stone. And for them they built temples. For them they built altars. For them they had services. And in those days, the temples of the heathen gods became the banks for the people. This brings their riches and their treasures and their money down to the temple of the heathen god and leave it there, for they knew that nobody would dare go inside a temple and rob anyone's treasures. No thief would dare break into the holy temple of Diana or Jupiter or Minerva. Men who had plundered palaces would not steal from temples, for they had a respect for what they took off as a sacred place. Hence, Malachi said, I cannot understand how a man would rob his God. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob his God? He is our Redeemer. Will a man rob his Redeemer? He is our Father. Will a man rob his own Father? He is our Savior. Will a man rob his Savior? He is our Provider. Will a man rob his Provider? He's our older brother. Will a man rob his older brother? He is our benefactor. Will a man rob his own benefactor? So the prophet Malachi is shocked beyond measure how anyone could rob his God. Now, I'm not preaching on tithing alone this morning. There are other areas in which you can rob God, and there are people all over this world today who are robbing God right now. In the first place, will a man rob God of his service? Will a man rob God of his service? Dr. Bill said a while ago, he said, let the scripture about work, whatsoever man findeth to do, do it with all your might, or do it with your might. There's no better verse in the Bible than that, unless it's one on salvation. If there is a secret to John our life, it's the fact that he does what he does with all his might. If there is a secret to Bill I. Frank, it's the fact that people here have done things with all their might. Folks have the strange idea that the folks come to hear me preach, for example, and they say, well, if I could beat the pulpit like ours, I believe I could build a big church all through it. Folks say, if I had all those funny stories that he had. Listen, brother, after you've heard the same story 15 years over and over and over again, my dear people, just sort of go. And they're not so funny. Listen to me. If you are not giving your best to God, are guilty of loving God. Is it possible that a person saved by his grace, saved from the fires of hell, recipient of God's glory and salvation, and a peace of God for heaven, which God is preparing you for us right now, would it be possible for such a man to rob God? Why, if a man feeds a cow, he expects some milk. If a man feeds a horse, he expects some labor. If a man feeds a hen, he expects some eggs. If a man feeds a bird, he expects some singing. If a man feeds a dog, he expects obedience. In God's name, what's he getting for feeding you? John the Fundamentalist, I didn't say that. Are you robbing God of your service? What are you doing for God? John the Fundamentalist, what are you doing for God? Well, I teach a class, what are you doing for God? Thousands and thousands are robbing God of his service. There's something every Christian ought to learn. I mean, it's so simple and yet so profound. Every Christian ought to learn this, and that is this. We are not our own. These hands are not my hands. They're his. I have no right in this world to use these hands to do what I want to do. This money is not my fault. It's his. I have no right to use it as I want to use it. These feet are not my feet. They're his. I have no right to use them as I want to use them. This body is not my body. It's his. I have no right to use it as I want to use it. These ears are not my ears. These eyes are not my eyes. This mouth is not my mouth. These lips are not my lips. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong in America that couldn't be cured by a generation of God's people who stopped to realize we are bought with a price, we're not our own, who give everything they have to God and quit robbing God of the service that's rightly his. The only lady in our church, lovely lady, she came to my office one day and said, "Pastor, guess what? We're going to have a baby." She said, "That's looking." I said, "Wonderful." They looked forward for 6 or 7 months to having a baby. When she was 7 months pregnant, she went down to the doctor. She didn't feel any movement. She went down to the doctor. And the doctor told her, the doctor said, "The baby's dead. We'll have to rush to the hospital." It was on Thursday afternoon. "We'll have to rush to the hospital this afternoon, and you'll have to have a stillborn baby." And the lady said, "I can't go this afternoon." She said, "Well, what do you," the doctor said, "What do you mean you can't go this afternoon?" She said, "Because I'm a bus worker in First Baptist Church at Hammond." She said, "Every Saturday, I go out calling for 8 hours, and I cannot have the baby until after Saturday's over. I've got to give God 8 hours Saturday." Not only that, I teach a Sunday school class of a poor little girl, and she said, "I'm going to teach my class." The doctor said, "But you may endanger your life." She said, "I'll endanger my life if I don't give God all I have." And that next Saturday, on a cold, rainy day in Chicago, wait on! That little lady with a dead baby in her body for whom she had prayed and to whom she had looked, that little baby who was the object of her desire in her body, yes! That little lady for 8 long hours went up and down the streets of Chicago, reaching boys and girls and men and women for Jesus Christ. Why? She did not put a wrong her God. That's why. How dare you? How dare you give God less than everything you have? This is give everything they have to their dirty cause. The communists give all they have to their cause. Why, in the name of God, of God's heaven, that we have enough love for our Christ to quit robbing him of the service that's rightly his. Will a man love God? Will a man love God? One can have R.G. Lee's eloquence, John Rice's mind, Lee Robertson's drive, Bob Jones's culture, D.R. Lakin's humor, Bill Rice's charm, Jerry Falwell's grace, Jack Manette's zeal, and Lester Roloff's faith, and fail for God if he doesn't get to work and do something for God. Give him your time. Give him your service. And Malachi said, "Is it possible that a man would rob his God?" 7 years ago, I was going to Dallas, Texas, in Chicago to preach. It's been 14 years ago, I guess. I was at O'Hare Field, and I was a little late for my plane. I had to run down the hall, the concourse, get to my gate, get the plane on time. I had the bags, and I was running like that, and looking beside me, another fellow was running also, and he's a very friendly fellow. He said, "Are you late for your plane?" Now, I had a suitcase in one hand and a briefcase in the other, running down the hallway. I said, "No, sir, I just come to the airport to exercise." And he was running, and I was running. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "My name is Jack Hobbs. What's yours?" He said, "George Adams." "What do you do, Jack?" "I'm pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond." "What do you do, George?" "I'm assistant football coach for the Chicago Bears." Well, immediately I recognized I knew him. He's one of my favorite football coaches. And so we got the bus ride as we ran. Got on the plane. I went back in the football section where I usually could pitch my tent, and he was up in the football coach's stay in the first class. So we got up to our cruising altitude, and the curtain opened between the rich folks and the poor folks. And in came George Allen. He stopped the fellow in the front row, and he said, "You a Baptist preacher?" And the fellow said, "No, I'll go back to about two-thirds back in the back," and the plane's almost filled. He said, "No." And I said, "Are you a Baptist preacher?" And he said, "No." And he said, "You a Baptist preacher?" And he said, he's looking for me, and I knew it. "You say, why didn't you stop him and tell him that you're the one he's looking for? Brother, I've been joining Baptist preachers, getting so much free publicity on American Airlines. Are you a Baptist preacher?" "No." He went through every man in that plane. It must have been 50 fellows in front of me. And finally he said, Are you a Baptist preacher? I said, yes. He said, did you hear me up there? I said, yes. He said, why didn't you tell me you were the one I was looking for? I said, you didn't ask me. And so he said, look, he said, I think your first name is Jack. I said, that's right. He said, I'm going to Waco, Texas to try to recruit. We have to have a worldly fellow here to cut me out. And I guess. And it's the last time you let me. It's the first time you let me also. But he said, I'm trying to recruit Ronnie Bull, who's the best fullback in the Southwest Conference this year, best running back. He said, now here's what you're going to do. He didn't ask me if I was going to do it. He said, here is what you're going to do. He said, tonight, you're going to Waco with me. He said, Ronnie Bull is a Baptist, Baylor University. He didn't know what Baylor University thinks about me. But he said, Ronnie Bull would come and do play for the Bears if you would set him to, because you're a Baptist preacher. Now he says, you can get Ronnie Bull to play fullback in the Chicago Bears, and you're going tonight with me to Waco, Texas. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm preaching in Dallas. No, he said, you're not either. He said, you're not either. He said, you're going with me. I said, look, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've got converts. He said, listen to me. He said, if you love souls, you'd get Ronnie Bull to Chicago. I said, man, I love souls. What is Ronnie Bull coming to Chicago? Got to be loving souls. He said, don't you know Chicago is all Catholic? We need Baptists in Chicago. He said, if you're right with God, you'll go with me to get Ronnie Bull. Now, you know, he actually got on his knees to beg me to go get Ronnie Bull. It's any small reason why he's one of the most successful coaches in the National Football League. Fine. He gives it all he's got, that's why. All of it. I'm talking to folks this morning, right in this room, robbing God of service. There are folks in this room today, you carry a school for your Bible, and you get to show the Lord every week, and yet you lazy, good-for-nothing shedder on your blessed assurance, you're doing nothing for God. The Lord is going to hell while you're reading Scorpio's notes, and the Lord is going to hell while you're, pardon me, while you're reading the show of the Lord. Read it while you're soul winning. That's it. But I'm saying, you're doing nothing for God. I cannot comprehend it. To save my life is beyond me. How anybody who names his name going to his city, saved from hell by his payment on Calvary, who's read the story of the payment of Christ on the cross for our sins, for our life, robbed God of his service. John Newton. John Newton got 2 weeks of time to flip the stairs. He was left up and leaning on his Bible, poured out his soul, out his preach. Somebody said, don't you think you ought to give up preaching? And John Newton said, what? Shall this old African blasphemer ever give up praising the grace of God as long as there is breath in this body? Never. I wish you'd go back home and get busy for God. Get you a bus ride. Get you a Sunday school class and govern it. Get your church and do something big with it. Will a man rob God of service? Will a man rob God of praise? Will a man rob God of praise? The folks this morning in this room robbing God of the praise that's rightly his. Should I look at First Baptist Church of Hammond and say, I built that? Should I look at Howard Anderson College and say, I built that? Should I look at Hammond Baptist High School and say, I built that? If I do, I'm robbing him of the praise that's rightly his. Shall the axe that fells the tree praise itself above the hand that used it? Shall Hank Aaron's bat exalt itself on Jack Nicklaus' 5-iron, or Shakespeare's pen, or Michelangelo's brush, or Van Carver's piano, or Picasso's chisel, or Nolan Ryan's baseball, or Edison's lamp, or the Wrightwood's airplane, or Billie Jean King's tennis racket, or Sergeant York's gun, or Longfellow's quill, or R.G. Lee's gun, or the carpenter's hammer, or Gettysburg press, or the fisherman's rod, or the hunter's rifle, or the potter's clay, or Mayo's clinic stethoscope, shall those optics exalt themselves, or close the hands that use them? Never! God help us to never be guilty of robbing
God
of the things that rightly His. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more Pentecostal I seem to get. I'll be honest, I get worried about myself sometimes. I get thinking maybe I ought to have my brain checked. There must be something up there that, you know, the only consolation I had from Dr. Beale was having brain tests, because that could not be the trouble. You've got to have one before it can go wrong. But I get worried about myself sometimes. I mean, really, honestly, I have a Baptist head. I've been across the heart. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses speak. Well, I get worried about myself. You know, Brother Bill, the older I get, the more I find myself shouting. When I walked in a while ago and saw Dr. Bill, I mean, honestly, I'll be honest with you. If I've been by myself, I've taken off my shoes. And I take off my shoes, that's not go to bed, that's go to shout. Listen, because God has been good to me, that's fine. Oh, in God's dear name, a little boy, a drunkard son, reared in poverty in Texas, weighed 93 pounds when I was 17 years of age, shut my thumb when I was 14, call me Jackie Boy, failed public speaking, the least likely kid in the church or the school to announce anything for God. You see, and God could take a little piece of clay like that and put him in a grave, scope it in First Baptist Church of Heaven, and let him sit on the same platform with John Rice, and let him shake hands and know personally Bill Rice. Let him walk on the Bill Rice ranch and be on the program. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Thank God for all that God's done for this little piece of clay. Oh, and God, James, don't you ever be guilty of stealing the joy and the praise from God that's rightly His. Malachi said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God of His service? Will a man rob God of His praise? Will a man rob God of His youth? His youth. There's one thing in America. Boy, I like what Dr. Bill said this morning about the shorts and the slacks. Blessed be God. Some of you gals ought to go home and burn your pair of slacks you've got in your closet and ask God to forgive you for dressing like the heathen world and becoming a puppet for the unisex movement. And you say, well, I'm not going to do it. Okay, fellas, you get enough guts to do it. You just get in your closet and you get all those bitches out of the closet and you burn them. Even bad today in this room, you're sad sight, the Christian, for the way you look. You don't have to dress like Jerry Rubin. You don't have to wear your hair like the long hippie communist. You don't have to wear your dirty mini skirt. It's time you lovers went home and took all the pants that your girls have and all the shorts they have and all of the mini skirts they have and bought them. And they get some old-fashioned Christianity back in your home again. Somebody asked me what I'd do if I saw my girls in shorts. I don't know whether I'd use gas, a gun, or a rope. I'm not sure which. Robbing God of our... God wants the appetizer as well as the dessert. He wants the sunrise as well as the sunset. He wants your last morning as well as the evening. He wants the dew as well as the evening rain. He wants the bud as well as the falling petal. He wants the infant as well as the ancient. And God is not pleased with the double standard we have nowadays of one kind of Christianity for adults and the other kind for young people. I go to church after church across this nation. In walks the family. Dad has a haircut. Has a nice business suit on. Has on a tie. Here comes Junior. I guess it's Junior. It has on a pair of pants that's just about to fall off his head. It has on no tie, a dirty shirt. It looks like an inverted mouth is exactly what it looks like. Following him. I want to go back, and the first thing I want to do is shake the young man and say, good night, why don't you look like a Christian? And the second thing I want to do is take his dad and shake him. Right after that comes a snob. Mom has a nice skirt, a Bible in her hand, and in comes some little harlot looking Jezebel freak of nature with her thighs showing, wearing a mini skirt, and that's what we have. I'm not talking about liberal churches. I'm not talking about Southern Baptist churches. I'm talking about independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist churches that have lost our distinctiveness, and have lost our distinctiveness, and have lost our conviction, and have lost our courage. I'm fit to say, God wants your youth. And if you're not giving God your youth, you're robbing God. Little man, rob God. Little man, rob God. You know, something awful sad to me about a child going to the devil. Listen, John said in 3 John, I think verse 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. He didn't say, I have no greater joy than to see they walk in the truth. He said, here. My kids are going to walk in the truth while they know I'm looking. He said to hear. Man alive, and Dr. Bill just used my boy Dave's name today in a list of other names. I began to tingle all over. And I began to, my eyes moistened up, my heart got Pentecostal all of a sudden. And I wanted to take off my shoes and throw a fit. Fire! Tell you why. All we've done for our kids is something awful sad about them going to the devil. You mothers, God bless you. You're sitting at home one day. And your husband came home, and you said, I went to the doctor today. And he said, what, you got the flu? And you said, I got the 9 months flu. He said, that's what it is. And then for 9 months, when you walked, you couldn't walk straight. And when you got on your back, you looked like a pyramid of Giza. You laid on your stomach, you looked like a rocker off a rocking chair. And you ate pickles at 2 o'clock in the morning and watermelons at midnight and didn't feel good. And your face got looking bad and you vomited in the morning and regurgitated in the afternoon and lost all your food at night and ate pickles again for a midnight snack. One night you're lying in bed and you said to your husband, sweetheart, my pains are about to rise distance apart. You better get the suitcase. He said, don't you get nervous now. Everything's going to be all right. And she said, okay, thank you for calming me. I appreciate it very much. And so he went and got the suitcase you had prepared, got out in the car. He got in the car, drove it through the front of the garage, forgot it, put in reverse, climbed it back out, drove 80 miles an hour down a 30-mile street, and you certainly saw a flashing light behind him in the rearview mirror, pulled over beside the road, and the policeman said, where do you think you're going, little car? And your husband said, no, it's my hospital here. She's going to the baby to have a wife. I mean, no. No, it's my baby here. She's going to the wife at the hospital. Oh, no. And the poor man said, I think I know what you mean. I've been through this myself a time or two. He got in the front, and he led the car down to the hospital, and they rolled you through a little door, and the husband stayed outside. You got the ether. Your husband got nothing. Poor fella. And he faced the floor. And then all of a sudden, you went a little out of unconscious, maybe. And then pretty soon you heard a cry. And they said, that's your baby. And the nurse came out. And the nurse said, you got a fine boy. And if you're not a Christian, you pass out cigars. If you are a Christian, you pass out peppermint sticks to all the people in the lobby there. And then soon they rolled your wife out, and you went in the room, and they brought that little bundle of flesh, and they laid it in the wife's arms, and the flesh tried to find the bosom of its own mother, and the words were spoken between mother and father that our thoughts were expressed, but words could not convey all the tenderest, sweetest times. Oh, listen, I got my kids, and I said, you're not going to go to the devil. I said, devil, you're not going to have them. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. I don't care if the whole world goes to hell. My kids are not going to go to hell. Let them wear the skirts my girls want. Let them wear the long shaggy hair my boy wants. Let them stay out till 11:30 at night my kids want. They're not going to go to the devil. You can't have them. Go on back to hell, old sweaty face. You can't have my kids. And here's a... And you folks are robbing your God of your youth. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God of his service, of his praise, of his youth? And then I think the writer had in mind also the tithes and offerings. Will a man rob God of tithes and offerings? When you face God, you're going to find that gold makes a pretty hard pillow on which to lay your head. You won't be glad you kept it then. Thank God for men like Russell Anderson, who's so generous and who work hard to make their money and then give it to others. But a man loves God.
Now, of course, I can't believe it. I can't believe it in anybody.
To rob God of tithes and offerings. But you say, I can't afford it. All fool.
Right on, I said.
And he's got to. But don't rob God.
You got a chance.
But don't rob God.
Well, hang it on, fools.
But don't rob God.
Eat your fools.
But don't rob God.
Sell your television.
But don't rob God.
Sell your furniture.
But don't rob God.
Pawn your wedding ring.
But don't rob God.
Sell your car.
But don't rob God.
Sell your house. But don't rob God.
When you stand before God Almighty, you won't get to look him in the face and say, my God, after all you've done for me, I gave you that which was yours. I gave you the tithe, and I gave you the offerings. I gave you my life. I gave you my strength. I gave you the service that was yours. I gave you the praise you rightly deserve. I gave you all I had. I gave you my youth. I gave you my childhood. I gave you my adult years. I did not rob you. I was thinking, there to go. I was 10 years of age. My poor little mother, who worked for 12 years without it, buying a new dress for herself, worked for 50 cents an hour for 12 years so she could rear me. I got a paper route, Dallas Morning News paper route. The first week I made $3 on my paper route. I was 10 years old. Had to drive. It was a morning paper. We had to be there at 3:30 in the morning to get the papers in those days. And I got $3 and got it home. And I said, Mama, here's what I made. Thank God my little mother sat me down and she said, now, son, we're going to have a chat. We're going to have a chat. I said, what is it, Mother? She said, now, I want to show you something. She said, 30 cents of this $3 belongs to God. And I laid aside 30 cents and I gave it to God the first 30 cents. And I failed God in many ways. I know I have, far too many ways. But blessed be God. Every $3 I've got from that later bill, God has got a lot more than a dime, all within 30 cents of it. I'm simply saying, it looks like to me that those of us who name his name are on our way to the celestial city. It looks like to those of us who are born again by his spirit. It looks like we ought to say, oh, to Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to him I feel again. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Lady Leah, get to the house. I bet you hate your mom and I, don't you? No. Mom was 87. Just a few minutes. She was flying to Texas for a week's vacation. 2 years ago, last Christmas, Mama had given up. Health gone. All gone. And she couldn't even get up to walk much. She could walk a few feet. Just given up. I said, Mom, why don't you go back to Texas and visit? Our home state, she said, son, I couldn't even make it to the car, much less to the airplane. Christmas Eve, we had a little get-together, and I went down to Holiday Inn and bought a gift certificate for my mother and my grown older sister. And I gift back to them, and I called to Dallas and made reservations, and I got the two airplane tickets to wrap them up. Mother sat there with it all pulled around like this. And she said, I said, Mother, here's a Christmas present. She opened it. She said, what is it? I said, it's a ticket to Dallas, an airplane ticket, one for you and one for Elaine. And it's a Holiday Inn gift certificate where you can stay 8 days in a Holiday Inn. And I said, here's $100 you can use to buy your food. And my mother said, but son, I couldn't go to Dallas. I've seen my friends in Texas for the last time. I said, all through it. And she said, oh, son, you don't know. It's all over for me. I said, I said, you know better than that. You know better than that. She said, son, I couldn't do it. She said, well, son, she said, I may die while I'm down there if I went. I said, okay, it'll save us having to go to the trouble of shipping your body back down there. And I said, it'd be a lot easier if you go down and die down there than to die up here. You got to take your old carcass down there all the way on a train, put it in a box and everything. She said, don't you laugh at me. I am not laughing at you. She's now on her seventh trip to Texas. She's made seven vacations to Texas twice a year, costing her, and pay all her expenses, and she's going there. Oh, you know how I do it? Tell you how I do it. Dalton and I were that high, and that high, and that high, and that high, and that high. My mother speaks to me, son, don't you rob God. Don't you rob God. She said to me time and time and time again, son, the money's not yours. Give it to God. She'd take my hands, and a little bitty hands, and she'd hold them up and say, son, those hands don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus. Don't you ever let those hands do anything that's wrong. They belong to Jesus. She'd have me stick out the tongue. She said, son, that tongue, that belongs to Jesus. Use it for him. Those eyes of his, use them for him. Oh, listen to me. It doesn't do any good just to come to a meeting like this and just see John Rice and get a few tapes and a few books and a few autographs and go home the same way we came. In judgment. Let's fall on our faces and say, oh, God in heaven, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily under the bill. We've known each other a long time. It doesn't much matter to me anymore. But it doesn't matter as much except the world's going to hell. Our nation's about to perish. In God's name, in God's name, let's give him all we have. I say with Malachi, would it be possible? Would it be possible to a man? The object of God's presence to rob his God. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Are you robbing God? Has there been money in your pocket? This time, this phrase, your youth. I said to our young men in First Baptist Church, Shannon, I say, I want all of you to be preachers. Every once in a while, folks will come to me and they'll say, well, everybody can't be preachers. I say, why can't everybody be preachers? And they say, well, somebody's got to be lawyers and doctors. I say, let the Presbyterians be the lawyers and the doctors. I have 7 doctors in my church. I said that statement one Sunday night. That's a Presbyterian to the doctors and lawyers. And the doctors in my church got a petition up and put it under my door. Said, unfair to doctors. We don't want to be Presbyterian. Just bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that sometime during this week, everybody whose car goes through the gates of this great branch will get along with his God and say, dear God, I'm going to quit robbing you. My life is yours. My hands are yours. My feet are yours. My youth is yours. My service is yours. My money is yours. I heads are bowed. I wonder how many would say this morning, just briefly, would have no invitation, but you'll say briefly, Dr. Hiles, I've been robbing God. I've been robbing God of my time, or my youth, or my money, or the praise that's right to his. I've been robbing God. I want God to forgive me. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. Oh, God in heaven, thou the one who is here, thy son, and thou the one who gives us the air we breathe now, and thou the one who's about to give us the food we're going to eat in a few minutes, and thou the one who put the clothes we wear on our back, and thou the one who made it possible for us to live in heaven forever, and thou the one who's forgiven our sins. May it never be said that we rob you. Help us, oh God, forgive it all. In Jesus' name, amen.